Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you today on this first Sunday in Advent as we gather together to worship and to praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just have a couple of announcements to apprise you of, one in particular, just to remind everyone that our congregational meeting will be on December the 12th. So please mark that on your calendars. We will be having our congregational meeting on December the 12th. We have also been filling out the surveys, and I just want to take the opportunity to say thank you to all of those who filled out the survey. We are appreciative of you taking the time to do that, but thank you for your input and for all that you have done in filling that out. At this time, I'd just like to call Elder Ken McEwen forward to make a couple of announcements.
Thank you, Randy. Today we go live with streaming of our worship service. Helping us today and next week is our consultant, Chris Scott. Chris has been extremely helpful in putting this together and preparing us for this day, so thank you, Chris. Much of the streaming is automated, but not all. If this project is to continue, we need your help. Each week we need someone to be our audio-visual person. The role is to sit by the equipment and monitor it to make sure that everything is working properly. On a rare occasion, there may be a need of manual intervention. Please see me after the service today and let me know if you are interested in being part of a team that provides this coverage every Sunday. The more folks that sign up, the fewer weeks we'll need to have anybody be the AV person. Thanks in advance for your willingness to serve in this manner as we serve our church and our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. So again, we are thankful for our having the ability to live stream, and we thank all of you this morning and thank all of those who are out there with us online. We just ask that you all continue to pray with us as we go forward, continue to go forward in this season of pandemic, serving the Lord Jesus Christ and serving our neighbors.
Our first scripture reading is taken from Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 14 through 16. This is God's word for us today. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring forth for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it will be called: The Lord is our righteousness. This is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading from chapter 21 of Luke's gospel, beginning at verse 25 and reading through verse 36. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and upon the earth distress of nations in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, look up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And he told them a parable: look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away till all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a snare, for it will come upon all who dwell upon the face of the whole earth. But watch at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. When I was a young soldier stationed in Germany during the what was called the Cold War, we used to regularly have what we called readiness alerts. Someone would come through the barracks blowing a loud whistle, usually around 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning while everyone was still asleep. And when you heard that whistle, you were to get up immediately, put on your battle dress uniform, sign out your weapon, and be ready to move out. Because I used to work for the division headquarters, I used to know when the alerts were coming, and so I used to stay up in bed at night waiting for the whistle to blow. But it was an alert, and I was always ready whenever that whistle blowed. But I think that's what Jesus is doing in our gospel reading this morning. Jesus is doing the equivalent of blowing a loud whistle. He is doing the equivalent of calling us to alert, to be ready. When you see these things, he says, be ready. I know you're all still probably filled with turkey right now and are probably basking in the warm afterglow of your Thanksgiving family gatherings. I trust that you've all survived Black Friday out there, and there's a stir of holiday cheer in the air as the merchants are gearing up to exploit the Christmas season for all that it's worth. But I'd ask you to forget all of that right now, at least momentarily, because this Sunday is the first Sunday in Advent. Advent, of course, means coming. It means arrival. That's what the word Advent means, arrival, coming. And during this season of Advent, we are asked always to look, to be ready. We're asked to look backwards to the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. We are waiting for the arrival of the little baby Jesus born in the manger, the little baby Jesus born in the sticks of Bethlehem, the little baby Jesus that was born into all the turmoil of the first century Middle Eastern world. We are ready and waiting for that little baby Jesus to be born into the world. We still have about 4 weeks before his arrival. But during the season of Advent, we are also called to look forward. We're called to look forward to the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is coming again in glory. That's what we're all waiting for. I'm sure, isn't that why we're all here this morning? We're waiting for the coming of the Lord. We are waiting for redemption. We are waiting for the coming of God's kingdom. That's what Advent is about. It's about waiting too for the Lord to return in glory. And so we were reminded this morning that Advent is also about hope. It's about the hope that we have, that we have not been abandoned, that the Lord Jesus Christ, who came once, will come again and reconcile all things to God's self. It's about hope. That's what all of our lectionary readings are about this morning. They are about hope. We've included all of the lectionary readings in your bulletin this morning and hope that you will take the opportunity to read all of them, even though we only read two this morning. We hope that you would take the opportunity to read all of them, to meditate all of them throughout this week, because they're all about the same thing. They are all about hope, including our passage from Luke's gospel. I know our gospel lesson sounds a little bit scary. You heard it, nations in distress, people fainting from fear, seas and waves roaring, the heavens being shaken. It sounds a little scary. Doesn't sound very Christmassy. Not the kind of things you want to put on a Christmas card and send out to friends and loved ones. And you're probably saying to yourself, why in the world would the lectionary give us this apocalyptic text on the first Sunday of Advent? Why, Pastor, would you even read this text about the end of the world as we're trying to get in the Christmas mood? Advent is supposed to be sunny. Advent is supposed to be cheery. Advent is supposed to be comforting. We've got enough of that other stuff from the news every day. Why in the world would you include this text? Well, because it's about hope. That's what Jesus says. When you see these things, look up, because your redemption is drawing near. It's about hope, and that's what Advent is all about. Advent is about hope. That's why we took the time to light the Advent candles, that first candle, the candle of hope. Because Advent is about light shining in the darkness. It's about hope. We shouldn't confuse, of course, optimism with hope. Sometimes we have a tendency to do that. We all know some people who are genuinely optimistic, positive thinkers is the phrase I think we use for them today. They are good people to have around. They are optimistic, positive about everything. There are people who are constantly telling you to look at the bright side of every situation. They look for the silver lining in every dark cloud. They always know someone who knows someone who is going through the same thing that you're going through, and who came out all right. And so they're always asking you to look on the positive side, to be optimistic. And I love those people. I love optimistic people. I love people who think positive. I like to have those kinds of people around me. But the problem with optimism is that it doesn't know how to deal with entrenched darkness. It doesn't know how to operate when the cure doesn't work, when there's no silver lining, when there's no bright side because the darkness is too overwhelming. It doesn't know how to deal when the relationship is dead and over. It doesn't know how to handle the darkness that persists. But that is when hope begins. Hope begins in the darkness. Hope begins in despair. And that's what Advent is about. It's about hope. Hope in the midst of darkness. James Stockdale was a Navy pilot whose plane was shot down during the Vietnam War. He was a prisoner of war for over 7 years in North Vietnam, where he was often beaten and tortured and spent most of his time in solitary confinement there. He was once asked how he was able to endure such cruel treatment while many other American prisoners of war who suffered similar treatment from the North Vietnamese captors died in prison. And Stockdale said that those prisoners were often the optimist. They were optimistic. They looked at the bright side of life. They said, Christmas, we'll be out by Christmas. We should be out by then. And when that didn't happen, they said, Easter, we'll all be out by Easter. And they set their goals for Easter. And when that didn't materialize, they were overwhelmed by despair and died of a broken heart. But Stockdale noted that he never lost faith in the end of the story. He never doubted, he said, that one day he would get out, one day he would be free. He never doubted the end of the story. And I think that's the difference between all of us and all of the positive thinkers out there, is that we know the end of the story. We know that no matter how bad things get, no matter how entrenched and overwhelming the darkness may be, no matter how long the darkness might endure, we know that the darkness is not the last word. We know that the last word belongs to God, who is bigger than the darkness. We know that the last word belongs to God, who has promised never to abandon us. The last word is not darkness, but the last word is hope. And that's what Advent is about. Advent is about hope. Advent is a season when we are asked to be brutally honest with ourselves. It is a time when we are asked to face the truth squarely about ourselves, about our world, about how broken we are, to be honest and truthful about how sinful we are, about how lost we are. Advent is a time when we are called to be honest about the fact that we cannot save ourselves from the darkness that has all of us in its grip. Most of our fights today are fights about the past, fights about who we are, because we don't want to be honest with ourselves. We don't want to be honest about how broken we are and about how sinful we are. We would rather forget all of that. We don't want to look deep down inside of our hearts and come to terms with the truth that our hearts are often captured by the darkness. I'm not as optimistic as I used to be. There was a time when I was somewhat more optimistic than I am now. But I'm not as optimistic as I used to be. I used to be optimistic. I was, for instance, optimistic about this pandemic when we first entered this season of pandemic. I was optimistic that it would be over rather quickly. Figured that we had the know-how, we had the scientific ability that we'd be able to get this thing behind us. All it would take was for us to come together, and it would only be a matter of time before this pandemic was before us, was behind us. And so I was optimistic about that. But then the whole thing became politicized, and we were divided, and there were people who wanted to wear masks and people who didn't want to wear masks, and we were fighting each other. And then before we know it, the pandemic continued to go, and the darkness continued to expand. And all of a sudden, there's a variant, and now there's another variant somewhere, an Omicron variant. And we don't really know now how long this darkness is going to last. It's going on 2 years now. And I'm not necessarily optimistic that we're going to get this thing behind us. And so I'm not as optimistic as I used to be. I used to be optimistic about race relations in our country. I used to believe things were getting better and better, that one day the divisions that separate us, all those divisions would be behind us, and we could begin to live as one people in this country, and we'd have all that nonsense behind us. But here we are every day in the news. It seems like there's a new battle along racial lines, and it seems like we've made very little progress. And so I'm not as optimistic as I was before. I used to be optimistic about our about our country, optimistic about our democracy. We live in a very stable democracy, I always thought. The United States, the most stable nation in the world. Our democracy is flourishing, and we can transport that democracy around the world. I used to be very optimistic about that. And then came January the 6th, 2020, and I'm not that optimistic anymore. Used to be optimistic about things like climate change, you know. Once the scientists in the world came to some kind of a consensus that things were changing, once the seas and the waves began to give their testimony about what was happening, that we would all get together, nations around the world would be able to get together, and we'd be able to figure this thing out, come to some kind of agreement and figure it out. But I'm not optimistic anymore. I'm not optimistic because a lot of the things that I believe seems to be collapsing. A lot of things I put trust in seems to be collapsing, so I'm not optimistic. But even though I'm not optimistic, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful because that's what Jesus says. When you see these things, when you see these things around you, when you see these things that looks like they're collapsing, when the world looks like it's coming to the end, when things are being shaken, things that you once had your confidence in, when you see these things, look up, says Jesus. Look up, because your redemption is drawing near. Look up. And so even though I'm not optimistic, I'm hopeful. Some scholars believe that Jesus is, when he's talking this way here in Luke's gospel, that it's basically vindication language. When Jesus is talking about the Son of Man riding on the clouds of glory, he's using vindication language, language taken from Daniel, the book of Daniel, chapter 7, when Daniel has the vision of the monsters coming out of the chaos and the monsters representing an empire, and then he sees one like the Son of Man. He sees a kingdom that looks like a human being because it is genuinely humane. And Jesus is using that language as vindication, telling the people of his day that unless they follow him, unless they continue to put their confidence in him, that all the things that they're putting their confidence in will come to an end, and they will see not only the destructiveness of their ways and the collapse of the things that they put their faith in, but they will also come to see that he was right, that his way to the kingdom was right, his way of self-giving love, his way of compassion, his way of justice, that his way was right. I don't know about that, but here's what I do know. I know that our only hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. Our only hope is his way of self-giving love. I'm no longer optimistic that we can pull ourselves out of the mire of the darkness that we find ourselves in. The only hope for the world, I'm convinced more and more, is the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, the way of the kingdom, the way of self-giving love. I don't know why we have to spend time in the darkness. I don't know why we have to endure a world that is constantly at war, a world where people are constantly suffering and in pain. I don't know why God didn't put an end to it a long time ago. I mentioned Admiral Stockdale earlier, and one of the things he said caught my attention. He said that the experience that he had in Vietnam as a prisoner of war, even though it was painful, even though he suffered a lot, even though he was tortured, he said that he, not only did he know how the story would end, but he said that he would take that experience. He always knew that he would be able to take that experience and transform it and use it so that it would be one of the defining experiences in his life, an experience that he wouldn't trade for anything in the world. And maybe that's true for all of us too, as we wait for the coming of the kingdom. Maybe all of this darkness, all of this pain, all of the suffering that we see in the world, all of the suffering that we too experience, maybe somehow it is being enfolded or will be enfolded into the purposes of God. Maybe somehow it will be transformative. Maybe somehow it was something that we all had to go through. We've had occasion before to mention Julian of Norwich, who was a 14th century mystic. That was one of the questions that she asked. Why? Why the darkness? Why do we have to experience the darkness? Why do we have to experience sin? Why didn't God put an end to it a long time ago? And she received her answer while she was deathly ill. The Lord came to her in a vision and said that this world of pain and sin and suffering was something that had to be, but told her not to worry because all will be well. All will be well. All manner of things will be well. It's about hope. And that's what Advent is all about. Advent is about hope. Hope in a God who has not abandoned us. Hope in a God who has promised to redeem us. Hope in a God who wants us to understand and to know that all will be well. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we ask this morning that you would give us the faith to be people of hope. Help us not to become discouraged by what we see around us. Help us not to live in despair by the things that are going on in our lives. Help us not to be defeated by the darkness, which always threatens to destroy our souls. But help us to really believe that you are the future, that the future is in your hands, and that all of our lives too are in your hands, that the whole world is in your hands. And whatever we might be experiencing presently, whatever might be going on in our lives, help us to know that all will be well. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.